Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well. I think I've had one of the busiest weeks of my life. It's been absolutely bonkers. And I said on a post on social media, Zoom, you and I have to just stop meeting like this. It's just been constant the whole week. I mean, it's been great. You know, I've done lots of really great coaching sessions and stuff with the sober coaches and done a bunch of interviews, did a great interview on UK House Radio, and I've done stuff for Kinda Sound Radio, which is a kind of new charity thing that started up, which is really cool. So I've had an awful lot going on, and we did a fantastic breathwork session in the Sober Club for people in the Sober Club and some podcast listeners online with Christina Ray. That was just very special. I don't know if I've already mentioned that, but anyways, there is a chance to hear that. And my guest is Christina. So we're going to be talking to the breathwork queen, Christina Ray, in a little while, coming up on the podcast. Also, I did a session on what does it mean to be a sober coach. So if you were signed up for that, but you couldn't make it, drop me a message and we'll make sure you get the recording, just answering some of the questions that people sometimes have. It's really nice actually when people come along on those kind of events and tell me that they, you know, they're sort of a couple of years into sobriety or whatever, and it all started because of this podcast. It's so cool just to hear that people listen to the podcast, and it really, you know, it really changes them, and they just start to focus on other things and want to find their purpose. And it's very exciting. It just never ceases to amaze me, all the incredible benefits that come from sobriety. It really is just amazing. I just want to share with you something that popped up in our Sober Club group this week, because again, I think it's very relevant with what, you know, something that can happen for many people. Somebody said, I think she said she was, I forget exactly, something like maybe 30 days sober, maybe a little bit more, and doing good, you know, really doing well. And then someone in her family, I think, a grown up child was at home and said, oh, mum, you know, obviously, Christmas, you know, shall we order some booze for Christmas? And she said, well, I'm not drinking. And the daughter or son, whoever it was, said, oh, well, you know, obviously it's, you know, you've done really well. Of course, you know, no one will judge you. It's fine to have a drink at Christmas. It will be absolutely fine. And she was saying it made her feel quite annoyed because she was concerned as to, you know, how is she going to cope with that level of pressure? And she was annoyed that the family couldn't seem to grasp that this felt was important for her, you know, and it's absolutely not what she wanted them to say. Because this is her, you know, this is her thing, feels really important. She doesn't want people trying to persuade her constantly to drink over Christmas. And I thought it was really, really good to kind of flag this up because it's so common. And this is one of the main reasons why I always recommend don't have too high expectations of your partner and your family and close friends, because it's not their thing. It's your thing. And we really do have to. This was a big one for me, because when I'd finally come out, as it were, to my, you know, to my husband and my family, I sort of had all these expectations that they should be proud of me and buying me cards saying, telling me what a sober hero I was. Well, I mean, just nonsense. They wouldn't have a clue where to even find said cards. It's not their thing. You know, it was my thing. And similarly, it's so simple for someone who is not on the same path as you to just say, well, you've done really well, you know, you can just have one. They don't mean any harm. They really don't mean any harm. They're not trying to ruin your alcohol-free journey. It's not worth getting upset about. We just have to, you know, frame it differently and remember that we're doing this for us, and that we need connection with people who've been there, done it, and got the t-shirt. And this is what we said to this woman on the Sober Club. Look, try and just be understanding that it's not their thing. Just very firmly say, I won't be drinking. And that's really it. It's kind of end of, isn't it? And as we've said so many times, if you rocked up to Christmas lunch somewhere and you're vegan, and somebody else said, well, you know, It's okay, you know, we won't judge you. You can have some turkey. I mean, you just laugh. You wouldn't get emotional about it. But of course, alcohol is emotive, isn't it? It does press every goddamn button. But we really have to just sort of step away, not engage in the arguments or the discussions. We just stick to doing what we're doing and then connect with people who do understand so you can let off steam. So we said to the sober club member, you know, if and when that happens, just come on the sober club. There'll be somebody around and you can vent there. You vent the frustration there. But it's actually not worth letting it out on on those around you if it's, you know, it's not their thing. So I guess that just reiterates yet again that the importance of being connected with people who really understand what you're going through. They've been there, you know, whether very recently or even years ago. I really still remember keenly how it felt in those early weeks when I was very unsure of myself. So the last thing I needed was, you know, a family member, you know, chipping their oar in, really. It wasn't their thing. I didn't really want to discuss it with them. I wanted to talk about all these kind of odd feelings that I was having, all the wobbles. I wanted to be able to talk about them with people who understood. And that's why, you know, that's why we need connection. So join us in the sober club. You know, I was going to say that. It really does make a massive difference. Talking of Christmas and all things festive season, it is a big thing for people. If it's your first Christmas sober, definitely do your prep. Definitely put some preparation in place. And even if it isn't, then you might want a little bit of support. So I'm going to be hosting a kind of a webinar, a Zoom session called Bossing Your Christmas Sober. So it, you know, it is for sober club members, but I'm very happy to invite y'all along. I'll put a link somewhere in the show notes or whatever. And that's almost certainly going to be on December the 3rd. I think I've got that right, which is a Sunday. I'm just actually looking at a calendar as I talk to you. Yeah, Sunday the 3rd of December, it will almost certainly be late afternoon. So look out for that if you want to join us, even if you're not a sober club member. I'm sure we can find some space for you. And we'll just share some stuff around bossing your Christmas sober, because you really are going to want to do that, and it will be your best Christmas so far if you do it without the booze. I can absolutely assure you of that. You don't need to be stressed and worried. We'll give you all the tools and the tips that you need. And then if you want any one-to-one support, I'm freeing up literally a handful of spaces for a kind of a accountability one-to-one across the Christmas period. So drop me a message if that's something that's of interest to you. And just one other thing to tell you about before we get into our fabulous guest this week. I am the co-author of a book called Stress to Calm. It's a series of books, actually, called Stress to Calm in 7 Minutes. My co-author is Beverly Densham, who is an author and a mindfulness Pilates expert. And it all just came about because of these tools that Bev was using as part of her mindfulness Pilates, and then she started using them with people in the workplace and suddenly realized, you know, there is a way of reducing stress and anxiety that does not have to take, you know, hours or even half an hour or even 20 minutes. So what we've done is we've written this book. It's got the lowdown, it's got the science, it's got the explanation behind it, and it's got tools in it, really, really simple tools that you can use to bring down your anxiety in 1 minute. And there are seven of them, so you can do it in 7 minutes. So there's a series of books. The first one is Stress to Calm in 7 Minutes for Lawyers. So, you know, bit niche, but if you are a lawyer or if you know someone who's in the legal profession, oh, it sounds like the perfect Christmas present, right? And then we've got one coming up for nurses and another one for teachers. But obviously, you know, whatever you do doesn't really matter. You're going to be able to make use of some of these tips and tools and techniques. So I just thought I'd share that with you. The first book is out on Wednesday, I think it is. So yeah, that'll be exciting to have a book out again. It's been a little while. And of course, it's not related to sobriety, although it sort of is, because let's face it, you know, stress and anxiety is so often what can lead to, oh, I think I'll have to reach for a drink because I'm feeling so stressed after you know, a busy day at work or whatever. And the professions that we've written about for the first three books, you know, they're obviously highly stressed jobs. People are very highly stressed in those positions. We did some surveys with people in those jobs, and it was really interesting. And it was actually, it was a bit shocking, really, just to see the level of overwhelm in every case. And when we asked in the survey, when we asked lawyers, nurses and teachers about their, you know, what they do to try and relieve their stress, you know, when it's really bad, a large percentage of them said they just reach for alcohol, or they do their best to try to stop themselves, but that feels like the quickest way. So we do have this kind of culture, don't we, in this country? It's so ingrained in us that when we're feeling anxious, when we're feeling stressed, we're going to reach for the booze. And of course, that's ridiculous, because, you know, it's not actually going to help. It's not going to relax us. It's a depressant. You know, yeah, it might numb you out slightly for a very short amount of time, but wow, what a price you pay for that, right? Anyways, so the books are out. I'll put the link in the show notes if you want a little stocking filler for your friend who might be a lawyer, or if you want to look through it yourself, whatever work you do. They're very simple, very quick ways of bringing down your anxiety in the moment, because that's really all we've got, isn't it? You know, just to get philosophical on you, we really only have the present moment. So when we're feeling super stressed, super anxious, panicky, you know, heart racing, then we need to bring down that anxiety as quickly as we possibly can. And that's the perfect way to introduce our guest this week. I really hope you enjoy this interview, and you will have a chance to watch the breathwork session as well. So if you look at the show notes after this, all of the info you need will be there. Well, just a short time ago, we had the most fantastic session for the Sober Club members on breathwork. And we're feeling very blessed to have had the experience of working with Christina Ray Almeida, a.k.a. the Breathwork Queen. So we thought, let's have a chat on the podcast. Christina, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And the session you did for us, it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, I've done breathwork sessions before, but yours is sort of with bells on, isn't it? It really, you really offer something very special. So we'll talk more about the breathwork stuff you do and the work you do with Ray Rituals. But first of all, I'd love to sort of go back and hear a bit about your story, because you have your own sobriety journey as well. So take us right back and share some of the previous stuff.
Definitely. Yeah. Thanks for having me. And I loved sharing that breath work with the sober community, the sober club. It was really special. So thanks for that introduction and for having me in your space. And it has been a journey in breath work journeys, breath work, daily breath work practices, and developing the ritual has been really powerful in my healing journey and in my sobriety journey. Why I've ended up here now as a breathwork coach, as the breathwork queen, as I'm calling myself these days. And it started, and it's been over like 10 years now that I was really started this sober journey. And for me, it came in phases. So I experienced trauma when I was in my teenage years, and you know, it was a turbulent childhood. I moved here from Mexico to the United States when I was young, and I always felt a bit lost and felt like a bit of an outsider. I started not really fit in here in the US, not really fit in there in Mexico. I was kind of in that in between, and I was always searching for something outside of myself to really fill that hole within myself. So when I experienced some sexual trauma in my teenage years, it really pushed me over the edge. And then when I came upon a tribe of people that seemed like a family, that were all doing drugs, I clinged on to that. And I started drinking and doing drugs, you know, really running away from the pain that was that traumatic experience. And I later came to find out that I actually had PTSD, which was surprising to me, because I didn't even know that you could have PTSD. I thought it was something that was just for, you know, people who were like war veterans.
Being in the war, yeah.
So later on, I found out that I did have PTSD, and I was really pushing away a lot of emotions and suppressing a lot of pain that I was having. And it was one of the driving forces why I really started heavily drinking and using drugs, which started in my teenage years and really took a turn after that sexual trauma and experience that I had. So I clung on to this community of people that were, had their own issues and were all doing drugs and started heavily recreationally using drugs in high school and alcohol. And, from the first time that I tried drinking, I think everybody has different experiences. And some people, they taste alcohol and they feel it and they're, wow, I'm out of control. I don't like this. But for me, I just felt joy and I felt so much bliss the first time I drank. I was like, this is amazing, And I think that's when I knew, that's when somebody could have told me I was in trouble. Because for me, it just felt so good to finally feel free of the emotions, free of the pain, and to let go. And so it was always like my escape. And that continued, and later on in life, I tried to get help, and I went to see a psychiatrist as I was advised to. And when I told them the things I had been through, some of the trauma that I was feeling, anxiety, depression, and I really wasn't doing well in school. I was in college at that time. They just prescribed me a lot of medication,
And then,
which,
of course,
that's how they.
you were still drinking, so you're medicating on top of medication, right?
At one point, I was on a lot of medication. And on the outside, it looked like I was doing well because I started to do really well in school because I was prescribed medication for, like Adderall and this thing called Vyvanse, things for ADD to really make you focus. And then I felt so, there's technically amphetamines, I was having a hard time sleeping. So then they gave me something for sleep and then it was all making me anxious. And then they gave me something for anxiety. And so I was like, if you're feeling up, then take this pill. If you're feeling down, then you take this pill. And then when you're feeling crazy, take this other pill. So I was just on all sorts of pills, and then I couldn't sleep because I felt so crazy that I would just drink a lot at the end of the day. So it really started to push me to another next level of out of control. Even though on the outside, I was always functional. It always seemed like I was doing really well. I was in really good shape. Doing really good in school. But inside, I was really spinning out of control, and I felt really like a zombie. And all of this medication, and what I say is really like putting a band-aid on a wound that is very deep, and so you're not really remedying the situation. And I think that's how a lot of Western medicine is these days, unfortunately. And people don't know exactly what they're getting into when they're taking these pills either, because it does change your brain chemistry. And so eventually I hit a point where I was like, wow, I don't want to take this anymore. I'm feeling out of control, I'm feeling crazy. And I just was like, I'm gonna stop taking everything. So I just stopped taking all the pills. And didn't know that you can't do that either. So I did that, and my body went into a shock, and I didn't realize that I had actually become dependent on the medications. And so that's when I had my first seizure, and I had it's basically withdrawal from the medication and from the alcohol. And so I started having withdrawal seizures. I went to the hospital, and actually the first seizure I had was on a treadmill. So I had the bright idea that when I wasn't feeling good to drink a Red Bull and to get on a treadmill. I'm like, oh, I'm not feeling good. So this was my 20-year-old self. It was a bright idea. So got on the treadmill, had a seizure, went to the hospital, and then it all just started off from there. The doctors suggested that I should go to rehab, and I wasn't ready to hear that, so I decided to just actually move to LA and get further away from my family and get deeper into my addiction. And I continued having seizures. Actually, I didn't stop taking the pills that I was most addicted to, which was actually Xanax, which are benzos. And that continued, and I still was using drugs recreationally. I was drinking heavily, and I got into a very deep depression. And there came a point in my life where I really, I thought that I was gonna die, and I was actually okay with it. I thought that drugs and alcohol was gonna be the end of my
Can
life.
I just ask you, when you think back to that period, what might have helped you, when you kind of look back? Because it feels so hopeless, doesn't it, that that there wasn't the right help available for you, the right, you know, I mean, you were clearly not a stupid person, right? And so I just wonder, looking back, what might have helped you, do you think?
Well, I'd like to think that what I have become now as a coach, yeah, and, you know, breathwork facilitator and helping people connect back to their bodies, that I could have helped myself.
Mm. So more awareness of these kind of modalities. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause what I really needed to do was to heal. And, mm, you know, when I went to the psychiatrist, I wanted someone to listen to me, and mm, I wanted,
but rather they just gave you pills. It's just pill for every ill rather than.
Yeah. I mean, a psychiatrist in the US, they're only required to see you for 15 minutes before they prescribe you. Mm. They can prescribe you hundreds of milligrams of pills that will, sure, permanently alter your brain chemistry.
Yeah.
And that's the requirement. It's only 15 minutes. They don't, yeah, even need to listen to you, and they don't. They don't really, no, care, and it's not their fault. That's just how the system is built. It's actually not like they want to be bad. They're just, that's the system.
Yeah.
They're just trying to heal your, you know, pain in that way. And the way the medication is, it just suppresses it and numbs that part of the brain. It gets rid of the anxiety. It gets rid of, you know, the sadness, or makes you focus, you know,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
it's not really getting to the root problem,
no, exactly,
of what's there, you know. And with the breath work, we go down and we deal with the emotion. We let it be released, let it be felt. Like, why is the anxiety there? You know, like, mm, what is in your life that might be causing that anxiety? What do you need to change in your life? Mm. What's not going well? Why is the sadness there? You know, like, what do we need to release? What do we need to actually let be felt? And with the pills and with the alcohol, all we're doing is actually pushing away the feelings, when in reality,
exactly,
the feelings, they need to be felt.
Mm, mm. Yeah, so, there's that thing, isn't there? Once you stop drinking, you have to feel all those feels that,
yeah,
would be numbing out for years. But so what changed for you then? What was the catalyst for change?
So when I was in LA, there just came a point where I realized, I don't really know what it was. I had had so many seizures at a certain point that I realized that there was a spark of light within me, mm, still. There was something inside of me that really wanted to live. And, mm, I realized that I was either going to continue down this path and die, or I was going to change my life. And the first thing that actually really changed was I started going to yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like my first entry into the whole wellness path. I was like, let me just do this one thing. I'm going to do yoga. And then, mm-hmm, they invited me to do a yoga teacher training. And it was just 1 month, 2 months of every weekend for the 3 day weekend to do yoga every day for like all day. And it was, mm-hmm, yoga teacher training. And I'm like, okay, let me just try that. Mm-hmm. And so that was the first thing. And it started to teach me to breathe, open up my body. And I released so much emotions. And I also met this community of people who were willing to give up their weekends to do yoga. And I'm like, it just opened me up to another group of people. And I was like, wow, there's actually people who are doing like healthy things, because I had been so surrounded by the same kind of people for so many years, who were doing drugs, who were partying, who were doing all that stuff. It was very, yeah, close. That's actually a very small percentage of the population, but when you're so in it, you think that that's it, that's everyone.
Yeah.
And so seeing this other community of people who were healthy, who were doing yoga all weekend, who were connecting to their bodies, who were opening up and learning about that, it was like the catalyst that started to change everything for me. And it started to open up my body and started to open up my breath and connect me to my emotions and the things that were locked. And in yoga, you know, when you're stretching different parts of your body, you start to open up different emotions. The emotions, they get stored in the hips and in the heart and the chest. And so as you stretch and you breathe, you start to open things up. And so that was the beginning. And that was over, mm-hmm, 10 years ago now, of me starting to connect back to myself and seeing that there was hope and that there was more and that I did actually want to live. And, mm-hmm, and then I went to, that was one of the first time that I went to the outpatient rehab and got sober finally from all of the pills.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was the first phase of sobriety. I ended up starting to drink again, but I never did any of the pills again. And so that was kind of what I say what I mean when I say that I got sober in phases. So
yeah,
that was the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great, isn't it? I love the way you describe that, because I think often people, when they sort of start out on some kind of, you know, on any kind of well-being journey or whatever, they, particularly if they're recovering from some kind of trauma and they've had lots of anxiety, they often turn to meditation and try meditation But of course, for many of us, definitely for me, certainly when I was drinking or, you know, during that period of time, I found meditation incredibly hard. I really actually couldn't sit still and be with my thoughts. I didn't feel very authentic. So I found that incredibly difficult. And over time, what I've realized is, you know, of course, meditation is amazing. And there's absolutely a place for meditation. But sometimes you have to just let the body take it. That somatic piece is so powerful. And that's obviously, you know, what you found with that, how the yoga was able to really have a massive impact.
Yeah, I think meditation is a difficult starting point. For me, at least it has been as well, because it's actually quite advanced, you know, because you do have to just sit there. And for a lot of us who are getting sober, there's so much emotion, so much coming up. So we need to move it. We need to move the energy and move it through. And so with yoga, it's a nice starting point, because you are moving that energy, you're moving those emotions and opening up, and it's a easier introduction. And then you learn about the breath through yoga as well.
Yeah.
That's why breath work is even, I think, an easier way, an introduction to meditation, because with breath work, you're focusing on breathing and you're focusing on doing something. You're not just sitting there. And then eventually, even if you start with a breath work, you can end with a meditation, because it relaxes you, relaxes the nervous system. It gets the energy moving and flowing, and you're focused on doing something. And then you can end with a little meditation as well.
Yeah, totally. Well, in case anyone is listening who is thinking, I don't really know what breath work is. I mean, we all breathe. So can you just explain for us what you mean, you know, when you say breath work?
So breath work is really just a way to manipulate the way that you're breathing. It's bringing consciousness to your breath to alter, you know, your state. To sometimes it can bring spiritual awakening or transformation. But I know a lot of people say, you know, obviously I know how to breathe, but there's different things that you can do with your breath. And so your breath actually controls your heart rate, controls your blood pressure, and with that, it controls your emotions. So if you learn how to control your breath, it's one of the only things in your body that actually is part of the autonomic nervous system. So it's automatic, but it's also something that you can control. So it can be automatic and it can be controlled. And it's one of the only things in your body that's like that. So it actually it sends a signal to your brain of if you're safe or if you're not safe. And so if you're all of a sudden in danger, your breathing will speed up automatically. And so that tends to happen when you get stressed out. And so that sends a signal to your brain that you're in danger, you're stressed, something's happening. You can choose then to slow it down, and that sends a signal to your brain that everything's okay and you will relax. So if you learn how to manipulate that yourself and to control the breathing, you can actually control your mood. You can control your emotions. You can control your blood pressure, your immune system even, and your heart rate. And so you can basically bring yourself to a relaxed state. You can bring yourself to, you can energize yourself. You can, bring yourself to a more balanced state. So that's all with learning different breathwork techniques.
And it doesn't necessarily have to take very long, does it? I know as part of your Ray rituals, of course, you've got some longer practice sessions, but I know you were saying to us as well that you could even just do something actually very short before you're going to do something, or maybe before you need to sleep.
Yeah. I mean, anywhere from 1 to 5 minutes, and you can experience a change within your body and bring yourself to a relaxed state, or even just 1 minute of rapid breath can actually bring you energy. I was driving, I did a long road trip the other day. I was falling asleep. And then I was like, let me just do 1 minute of the rapid breath. And it woke me up immediately. So there's actually a breath, it's called like shot of espresso, because it just wakes you up, and it's one minute. And so it's crazy, you know, how quickly you can shift that within yourself.
Amazing. Can you give an example of what that would be? Would that be breathing in through the nose or the mouth, or a combination?
For the energizing?
For the energizing. For the caffeine shot.
The caffeine shot. Yeah. That one is actually, it's what I do is just I breathe in and out through the mouth, and you just do it rapidly. And then I end with a breath hold. So it just looks like this. And you do that for a minute, and it goes into the stomach and out. So the belly just rises and falls. So it's in and out the mouth, and you just do that rapidly for a minute, or you can even do it for, you know, 10, 20, 30 breaths. And that actually will, it got me a little bit actually energized already. and then you just end with a, and you hold, and just hold as long as you can. And then just release with a sigh. And there you go. That's just your quick
Brilliant. So a lot of people have read the book Breathe, James Nestor's book, which has done phenomenally well. And of course, one of the things that he talks about there is the importance of breathing through the nose, even to the extent that I think he gets, you know, he talks quite a lot about taping your mouth at night and stuff like that. What's your view on that? I'm guessing that there are many different ways to do this, but I'd be interested if you've looked into that.
Yeah, I mean, for breath work, I think it's, you know, the shorter periods of time. So I think what he's talking about is more on a daily. And I think there's a lot of breath work teachers and experts that recommend that we actually breathe daily, consistently in and out through the nose as a healthier practice, because that's really where we're meant to breathe. So I've heard it, you know, compared to breathing in and out through the nose is kind of like sweeping the chimney. It's a way for us to really detox the body and get rid of all the things that we need to get rid of. So it's a healthier, especially if you have like asthma and if you have allergies, breathing through the nose is healthier for you. Mm. And it's, you know, how we should breathe. I've seen a lot of ads lately on Instagram for this tape over your mouth while you sleep.
Yeah.
I don't really know that that would be comfortable for me to sleep, but you know, I think why not try it?
Yeah, I guess there are many ways to do this, as you say. So tell us a little bit about, I know you've done some really interesting stuff. I'm just really interested in some of the stuff you've done. You've been helping a community, volunteering at a shelter in Miami. That must have been amazing.
Yeah, so there's a really amazing shelter. It's called Lotus House in Miami. It's one of the biggest women's shelter in all of US, actually. And so it's really a beautiful space and they do amazing things for women. There's children there and they live there kind of in between state as they're, you know, coming off of the streets or rehabilitating themselves and getting their lives back together. So a lot of these women have experienced a lot of trauma and, you know, having lived on the streets for a while, there's a lot of things that go on there and have had, you know, rough childhoods or, you know, or even just obviously living on the street. And so in this space, what I did was I came in and was teaching mindfulness. So I was doing meditation and breath work. And I did with the youth, I was working with the younger women who actually all have children and babies. So the children were there as well.
Oh.
It was really, oh, sorry, my headphones coming out. But yeah, it was a beautiful experience because I've done breath work for a lot of different types of people. And these women were the most receptive and open to the breath work. And I was worried going in. I was like, oh, maybe they're not going to, you know, they're not going to want to do it or be receptive. And they loved it. They had a great experience and they were so open to it, and their kids too. And
I gotta say, how wonderful for kids to do. I mean, wouldn't it be great if all kids were taught this early on? It'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And it actually inspired me to want to work with more children. And I've been working with some teenage girls recently. Have experienced a lot of anxiety, and the breath work is really good for anxiety.
Yeah.
So the women, they were so open to it, and it's been really beautiful to share that breath work with them. And you know, we do some like shaking and jumping around and moving the body and then some breathing and some meditation and all just sharing and talking together. And it's kind of crazy too, because they don't really have anyone to watch the babies and the kids while we're doing that. So it's very loud in there as well. So you have to, you know, it's a shelter. It's a women's shelter. So there's people coming in and out and there's a lot of disturbances. So it's a great practice there because you have to, anyone can go to a meditation place in the middle of, you know, the jungle and a more peaceful place and just be breathing and relaxing. But when you're in the middle of the city, when you're in the shelter, screaming babies and people coming in and all sorts of stuff happening, that's the real practice.
Is yeah, it really is. Yeah, you know? if you can center yourself in all that chaos, yeah.
Exactly. And that's where you need it the most. And that's where we were able to really practice. And we actually have, you know, been able to do that. And we're doing the breathing techniques. And I taught them breathing techniques mostly for relaxing the nervous system, for sleeping. They don't really need to be activated more. They need to be brought down. Mm-hmm. And so I like to say that, you know, I taught them some things, but they taught me a lot as well, because they were just so welcoming, so open and so humble and so sweet that, and so grateful. Mm. So I'm like, these women, they're so motivated to change their life and so grateful and so open that, you know, it just teaches me that to be grateful as well, you know?
Absolutely. I know I meant to ask you when we were talking about actual breathwork techniques, one of the practices that you talk about, you call it breath watching. And I guess that helps to calm the nervous system. Can you describe what that might be for us?
Yeah, breath watching is like the first step on the breathwork journey. And it's really just becoming an observer of your breath and becoming aware of your breathing. Because most people, you know, as you said, like they're kind of like, you know, what do you mean I don't know how to breathe? So the first step is really noticing your breath. First of all, just how you breathe on a regular basis. Second of all, how different environments affect your breathing in different people. So you can start to notice, you know, the first thing is put your hand on your belly, your hand on your chest. Where are you breathing into? Are you breathing rapidly? The pace of your breath, the volume of your breath. So is it coming into your stomach? Is it coming into your chest? Shallow breathers, which is a sign of chronic stress, a sign of being in a traumatic stress response, will breathe rapidly into the chest. And so you want to notice those things. And then you want to notice how it changes throughout the day. So maybe during, like here in the US, we're in Thanksgiving, you know, so maybe your crazy aunt walks in and all of a sudden you notice the breath is getting a little bit more rapid. Or, you know, a stressful work environment is shifting that within you, or you're stuck in traffic. And so you're noticing these different things, or you notice, or, you know, somebody pleasant walks in, you notice you relax all of a sudden, you can see that, how that changes within your breathing. So you start to notice the different shifts in different people and different environments. And that can bring, you know, awareness to your life of the kinds of things that are bringing you energy and filling you up and making you feel good versus the kinds of things that are not. And so it's good to take an inventory of that, and your breath is a signal of that. And so that can teach you and start to bring you to that place of awareness within yourself where you start to know the things that are actually bringing you good and things that are taking away from you. What is filling you up and what is taking you away? So that is part of the breath watching practice. And I recommend keeping a breath journal as well. So in the beginning, just really becoming aware of your breath and the different spaces and faces and things of it.
Yeah, I love that, because as you say, you know, when we're consciously aware of it, then the really good news is that we can actually do something about it rather than, you know, oh, I'm in panic mode, give me another pill, which is often the case, isn't it? So, yeah, I love it. So tell us a little bit more about your community, about Ray Rituals and what you offer.
So yeah, Ray Rituals, rayrituals.com. It's a membership community offering live and on-demand breathwork, health and wellness rituals that support mindfulness, healing, and recovery.
Just tell me when you talk about ritual, just tell me what you mean about the word rituals. That's the importance of ritual.
The rituals are really daily habits, tools, techniques, things that I've developed on a daily that have helped me on my journey. And the space, we also have other women practitioners that share their daily habits, rituals, techniques. So I share a lot of breath work on there. I also share like my morning routine, how I move through my morning that really fills me up and keeps me grounded for moving through my day. I share on there a juice ritual that I have, like my juicing routine in the morning, my green juice, which is something really sacred to me, actually. A giving ritual is part of how I show up for the community and service, something that's really important, that's actually benefited my life, because you do for others, but really part of that is you're doing for yourself, because it's filled me up and it's changed me. So just having that space to share those different routines, rituals, practices that have bettered my life, and then having other women practitioners on there sharing their rituals and practices that have bettered their life. So just Ray Rituals is just a space where I want women from all over the world to be able to share their rituals, so we can really just create this community of amazing practices and rituals for us to share with each other and support each other on our healing journeys and our daily practices.
I love it. Thank you. And just remind us of your website, Christina, as well.
So we have rayrituals.com. And then I have my website, which is I am Christina Ray, which is RAE, and Ray Rituals is RAERituals.com. And then I am Christina Ray, that's Christina with a CH, Ray, RAE.com. And I have different offerings as well. I do one-on-one breathwork journeys as well, which are deeper breathwork journeys. And then I do, you know, more of the softer breathwork as well, was the introduction breath work and a bit of life coaching that I do one-on-one. And we're going to offer the community the free discovery calls as well. If you want to just see if it could be something for you and get a little more information on breathwork, I'm happy to meet with you, and you can book that through the link that we're going to share. And also, I'm always available via my Instagram. If you just have questions and want to talk about sober journey, talk about breathwork, feel free to DM me. I'll always respond. And I do have a sobriety program as well that's called Sober and Thriving, which is available via my website also. And that program is a self-paced mastermind that takes you from just being sober and surviving to actually being sober and thriving. Because I feel like when I first got sober, I was kind of just like, figuring it out.
Gritting
you know?
Your teeth.
Yeah, you're just kind of getting through it. But you get to a place where you're actually really thriving in sobriety, and you realize all of the opportunities, all the amazing things. You connect back to your body. You start feeling joyful. And so it's kind of like me helping you get there faster by reconnecting to your body, by doing breath work, by joy rituals, practices, and connecting to community. Just some of the tools and techniques that have helped me get there.
Yeah.
Well, I took a little bit of a longer road, but hopefully this will help you get there a little faster.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I often say that. My early kind of journey in sobriety, the first few months, I forgot everything I knew about holistic wellness. I wasn't connected. I didn't do any of the things that, you know, I now recommend. I literally forgot everything. But now I look back, I'm grateful, because at least now I you know, no one will be able to say, but you don't understand, because actually I do. So I'm grateful now that I had to go through that. Thank you so much, Christina. It's been just fantastic connecting with you, and I love the work that you do. And we'll put all of those links in the show notes, obviously, and as you say, anyone can connect with you. And thank you again for the wonderful, wonderful breathwork session. It's much appreciated, and I'll make sure people have got the link. So all the best, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving. As we record this, you've sort of familied up and everything, so it's very exciting for you guys over there. So I hope you have a wonderful holiday. Happy holidays.
Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So thank you so much, Christina. It's been amazing to work with you and to have that breathwork session. And we'll put the link as to how you can access that in the show notes, and make sure you follow Christina. I am ChristinaRae.com or Rae Rituals. That's RAE, RaeRituals.com. And I'll put the links in the show notes. Christina is offering a free call, a free discovery call, if you want to see whether you think, you know, it's the kind of thing you'd like to do, you'd like to do some more of. So it's a really nice offer, and I'll make sure all of that goes in the show notes. So whatever you're doing, make sure you stay connected. Don't forget that piece. It's really important as we get into this kind of festivity time. People can kind of sometimes just think to themselves, well, you know, I'm not. And in fact, actually, the number of people that have said to me, you know what, I hate Christmas. Of course, it's Thanksgiving as well, isn't it, at the moment? And I mean, you kind of love it or you hate it this period of time. And there's been a few people in the Sober Club have admitted that they're worried about Christmas because they really don't like it. They may be on their own, or they might be on their own for part of their time. And they really recognize how over-commercialized everything is. And they kind of know they're going to end up getting themselves in a funk. And, you know, plan now, plan ahead now, because ultimately it's just one more day, right? It really is just one more day. And you can reframe this, and you can find a way of doing something you want to do. Okay, maybe a lot of stuff shut, but you know, whatever that is for you, whether it's holding up with your favorite movie, or you know, making yourself a meal, or go and do something for somebody else, because you know, often that's the answer, isn't it? Going and volunteering somewhere, not necessarily at one of the massive charities that probably get signed up in July, but something really local where somebody might need your support. You know, when you give back, it just makes every bit of difference. There may be somebody else who lives near you who's on their own, and you know, you go and spend a couple of hours with them, make their day. So there's always a way, isn't there, really? But start planning now. So come to our Bossing Your Sober Christmas session, and if you're someone who really dislikes Christmas, then maybe we'll see if we can help you turn it around a bit. But whatever you do, reach out. Don't just hole up and say nothing and then be miserable and then end up turning to the booze. Absolutely not. We want you to have a hangover-free Christmas, because that's how you're going to enjoy your life. you know, so much more without the booze. I think I've said that a few times, right? Yeah, I think I have. You know where to find me. If you would like to contribute to this work, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/Janie Lee Grace. Obviously, you can join us in the Sober Club, or you can contribute to our Give Back Fund. You can just drop me a message. I'm pretty good at replying to DMs, or, you know, whatever. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook and everywhere, really, at Janie Lee Grace. I'm easy to find. And again, if you want to join us in the Sober Club, you're very welcome. If you just want to come and join us for the Bossing Your Sober Christmas, we'll make that happen as well. You know where to find me and all the various things that we have on offer. Still planning to put in place the online family constellations. I'm really sorry I haven't got a date yet, but we will organise that as soon as possible. And also we're planning a family constellations day in York again, which I'm so looking forward to. Absolutely love it there. So we're going to look to do that probably the end of February. So drop me a message if these things are of interest to you. But wherever you are, tell someone you're doing this. If it's your early days of stopping drinking, reach out, tell someone, share it with someone. You can share it with me. I'll be your cheerleader. I really will. See you same time next week.
Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.